Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
They were able to move in very quietly. They had the element of surprise. Cavalcante did not realize he was surrounded until that had occurred.
Even then, Daniello Cavalcante did not want to go peacefully. How law enforcement brought the manhunt to an end without firing a single bullet.
Also, thieves target half a dozen Raleigh businesses in the dark overnight. We're live with a look at the video that could help police find those criminals.
And we have a cold front moving through. It could bring us some scattered storms later this afternoon. I'll show you who has the best chance of seeing severe storms. Plus, the new information from Hurricane Lee. I'll show you how our coast could be affected.
An escaped murderer who kept a community in fear is back where he belongs. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Shortly after 8 this morning, a team of state and federal authorities captured Daniello Cavalcante, who spent nearly 14 days on the run, eluding capture.
In the end, he was no match for a state police dog, a canine who sniffed him out and alerted law enforcement. No shots were fired, but Cavalcante was injured in that takedown.
That did not stop him from trying to escape. He began to crawl through thick underbrush, taking his rifle with him as he went. One of the Customs and Border Control teams, BORTAC, had a dog with them. They released the dog. Some of our PSP CERT members were also there, had him surrounded. The dog subdued him, and team members from both of those teams immediately moved in. He continued to resist, but was forcibly taken into custody. No one was injured as a result of that. Excuse me. He did sustain a minor bite wound. We had medical personnel at the scene, and they took a look at that.
Cavalcante was then taken to a station for further processing. He will ultimately be transferred to a state correctional institute where he will begin to serve his life sentence.
Raleigh police are investigating a spree of break-ins in the Midtown area of Raleigh overnight, and WRL has confirmed at least 6 businesses just about 2 miles apart were hit by thieves and vandals. WRL's Chelsea Donovan is joining us outside one of the locations that was hit and damaged. Chelsea?
Yeah, just moments ago, we got a look at some pretty incredible surveillance video here at Tobacco Max and Vapor. What we noticed is 2 white cars pulling up in this parking lot. Then they took one of the cars, rammed it into the side of the building here. That broke the glass. And then what's interesting, as you follow us inside and we turn around here, you could actually see what they did was they all filed in just through this really, really small gap. 6 of them came in to Tobacco Max and Vapor. They headed straight to the cash register here before stealing the money that was in the cash register, as well as a lot of different vape products. This, as you know, if we can show you some video from the other locations, just one of a half a dozen break-ins. The others, we understand, happened at Jet's Pizza on Wake Forest Road. The ABC store was also broken into in North Hills. The Dunkin' Donuts was surrounded by crime scene tape on Falls of the Noose, as well as the pet supply store across the street. All had damage from these thieves that busted out the doors and windows. Now, we also stopped in at the Lago's supermarket on Atlantic. That's just a few minutes from this location. They were also hit by vandals and thieves. They came early this morning when the alarm went off and noticed the break-in. They said it's going to cost about $5,000 to repair that damage. And get this, those suspects only made out with a couple of Coca-Cola soft drinks.
These are like 6 kids. They're young guys, less than 22 years, I can say. They just broke the front door, tried to mess with the cashiers. They don't see nothing because we don't leave money here. And they just gone, just broke the computers and left. Less than a minute to be here.
We just spoke to the owner here at Tobacco Max, and he says it's going to cost several $1,000s to repair this. Of course, as I mentioned, they lost a lot of product. You'll see in this surveillance video, we'll show you in our later newscast, that they actually came in here with big black trash bags, not only taking cash, but products here as well. As we know, we've reached out to Raleigh Police Department, as right now they say they haven't made any arrests and no one is in custody in this crime spree here in Midtown.
Quite a crime spree it is. Hopefully that video will help them catch them. Chelsea Donovan live for us this noon. Chelsea, thank you.
Cooler temperatures are on the way this week thanks to a cold front crossing our area, but it also means some scattered storms are possible. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at where it could affect the evening commute.
Let's take a look at what's happening right now on dual Doppler 5000 radar. You can see some thunderstorms much closer to the coast, and that's where the bulk of it will be, but we do have the front that's draped across our area, and we're likely to see some showers and thunderstorms developing as we get to, say, early to mid-afternoon. A little bit of rain back towards Charlotte, but there's nothing actually falling in our viewing area right now. You can see where the front is, again, draped a little closer to the coast, but we do have some rain that's showing up back across South Carolina and around the Charlotte area. That'll start to push into our area within the next couple of hours. Just south of Clinton here is the only area that we're under a level one risk in our viewing area, so that's where we'd be the most likely to see scattered thunderstorms that could produce some wind damage. We'll take a look at future cast, and you can see mostly cloudy skies, but starting around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we begin to see a few isolated storms popping up. Again, the best chance of anything strong is going to be a little closer to Fayetteville or Clinton near the South Carolina line or closer to the coast. But an isolated shower could pop up in any part of the viewing area. That all tapers off around midnight or so. The new information from Hurricane Lee, this is the 11 a.m. advisory. It is down to still at 115 mile per hour winds. Haven't seen it drop yet to Category 2, but that's likely to happen within the next 12 hours. It moves past Bermuda really overnight Thursday night into early Friday as a Category 1 storm, and then likely to have some impacts in the northeast. It could make landfall near Maine or the maritime provinces of Canada. It's going to brush by Cape Cod, and there could be some impacts there. It'll be a Category 1 storm at that point. For our coast, we already have high rip current danger. We're seeing that right now, and that will continue all the way through the weekend, along with some coastal flooding and the potential for some beach erosion. Once our front comes through today, we've got some nice weather on the way. I'll show you coming up.
Breaking in the last 15 minutes, WREL has learned that a man shot and killed by a Wilson County deputy was in the U.S. Army Reserves. The Wilson Sheriff's Office says the deputy killed Lamoris Spate Jr. after Spate placed another deputy in a chokehold. WREL's Keenan Willard is outside the Sheriff's Office with what we're learning about what led to the shooting. Keenan.
Renee, a lot of information, just as you said, in the last 15 minutes. We're working through responses from the Wilson County Sheriff's Office, as well as the Pentagon, about who Lamoris Spate Jr. was and what led up to this shooting. Now, at this point, we just got confirmation from the Wilson Sheriff's Office that a deputy shot and killed Spate Jr. during a mental health crisis at a home in Saratoga. This coming after the FBI confirmed to us last night that they were investigating this situation as an officer-involved shooting. Now, here is everything that we have learned so far about this incident. The Spate family says on Sunday, 22-year-old Lamoris Spate Jr. had a mental health crisis at a home in Saratoga. They say Wilson deputies arrived, and Spate placed one of them in a headlock. That's when another deputy shot and killed Spate. Family members tell WREL they feel deputies should have used other methods to de-escalate the situation before resorting to firing shots at Spate. WREL reached out to the Wilson Sheriff's Office for a response to those claims and to ask if any deputies involved in this situation are on leave. In a statement, the Sheriff's Office says deputies were called out in response to Spate having a mental health crisis. They say deputies initially did try to de-escalate the situation, but during de-escalation, they say Spate grabbed one of the deputies and placed them in a chokehold. The Sheriff's Office says Spate then began trying to unholster that deputy's weapon, and at that point, another deputy shot and killed him. The Sheriff's Office says at this point they are not releasing the names of the deputies involved while the FBI investigates this situation. Now, the response doesn't say whether any of those deputies involved have been placed on leave. We've reached back out for that information. And again, we just got a response from U.S. Army Public Affairs saying that since 2019, Lamoris Spate Jr. has been in the U.S. Army Reserves. We have more information about his service record and trying to gather more information about who he was as a person coming up this evening on the WREL News. Renee.
Keenan Willard reporting live from Wilson County. Thank you.
The UNC Chapel Hill Employee Forum began its meeting this morning with a moment of silence honoring the life of Professor Zijie Yin. He was killed in a shooting on campus last month. Faculty and staff shared their thoughts on the university's response. Some felt there was enough communication during the lockdown, while others wanted more specifics. One staff member had concerns about doors that didn't lock.
Training is needed. I have heard of the active shooter training, have never attended one. Luckily, I've already been through a lockdown at another institution, so I kind of knew following on instincts, knew what to do.
UNC Provost Chris Clemens told the group the university is creating a centralized form for feedback on the situation and will be bringing in outside consultants to review the comments.
The consumer price index rose 0.6% last month. That's up 3.7% from a year ago. The CPI measures how much we're paying for goods like gas and groceries. Higher gas prices are fueling the economic issues. But analysts say when energy cost is excluded, inflation is actually easing. That will be a key consideration when the Fed meets next week.
Child poverty in the United States has more than doubled since last year. Newly released data from the U.S. Census Bureau shows poverty rate jumped up to 12.4% in 2022, a 7% increase from the previous year. It is due in part to the expiration of pandemic benefits like the expanded child tax credit. President Biden released a statement blaming congressional Republicans for not extending the child tax credit and vowed to restore it. The report also found median household income has declined.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news this afternoon. We've just learned that North Carolina Central University has released women's basketball head coach Tricia Stafford Odom from her contract effective today. They say an interim head coach for next season will be announced at a later date. Assistant coach Terrence Baxter will remain on staff to continue program operations. Stafford Odom has been with the college since 2017. A national search will be conducted to find the next head coach for the college.
Next at noon, a cruise ship is beached in Greenland at low tide. How a fishing boat will try to get it back out on the water.
Also, artificial intelligence to help you manage your money. Would you use it? The benefits of AI on your finances.
Plus, keeping your brain sharp in retirement. At 12:30, crucial ways for your mind to stay active in your golden years.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Russian President Vladimir Putin met today to discuss a potential arms deal. NBC's Richard Engel reports, despite both leaders being under sanctions, the mood was pleasant.
Stepping out of his limo in the far east of Russia, a slimmed-down Kim Jong-un greeted Vladimir Putin. Thank you for inviting us, even though you're busy, Kim said. The two leaders toured Russia's version of Cape Canaveral, the modern Vostochny Cosmodrome. Both men are under sanctions, but didn't seem isolated this morning. Instead, they're drawing closer because of the war in Ukraine. After signing the visitor's book, Kim and Putin were all smiles, praising each other and the historic ties between their countries dating back to the Korean War. Putin said he hoped the space station could help Kim, who he says is interested in advancing North Korea's space program. U.S. officials say North Korea's space program is really cover for its long-range ballistic missile program, because if you can launch a satellite into space, you can also fire a nuclear warhead at the United States. North Korean intercontinental ballistic missiles can already reach anywhere in the U.S. As if to prove a point during the visit, North Korea launched ballistic missiles overnight into the sea off Japan. Kim also seemed to praise Putin's war in Ukraine without mentioning the country by name. Russia has risen to a sacred struggle to defend its sovereignty and protect its security in opposition to the hegemonic forces that oppose Russia, Kim said. At their dinner, Putin toasted to strengthening friendship and Kim's health. The deal between Putin and Kim is simple enough, according to U.S. officials. Putin is offering North Korea help with advanced technology and likely food in exchange for ammunition, the artillery and rockets that Putin needs to fend off the U.S.-backed counteroffensive in Ukraine. North Korea, one of the most militarized countries in the world, has huge stockpiles of artillery, which Ukrainian and American officials worry could tip the balance of the war to Russia.
That was Richard Engel reporting. This is Kim's first visit abroad in more than 4 years, and its first since the pandemic.
State and federal authorities shut down a bridge that connects northern Kentucky and Cincinnati after a man phoned in a bomb threat. That call came into a 911 call center around 5 this morning. Dispatchers say the man threatened to shoot police and demanded $400,000. Police are blocking all traffic on both sides of the bridge, and the U.S. Coast Guard has shut down Ohio River traffic under the bridge. The bomb squad searched the bridge but have not found a device or a suspect. A fishing vessel will try to free a cruise ship carrying more than 200 people. The ship ran aground Monday in Northeast Greenland National Park. There are no reports of injuries or risk of damage to the environment as a result. That ship will try to pull the 343-foot-long Ocean Explorer free. If that doesn't work, the ship could try to free itself tomorrow when the tide is high. Everyone on the ship is safe. There are passengers aboard from all over the world, including the U.S.
At least 6,000 people are now presumed dead following the floods in eastern Libya. Officials say the death toll is expected to rise as authorities struggle to get aid to the coastal city. Search and rescue teams comb shattered apartment buildings for bodies. They've also retrieved the dead floating in the Mediterranean Sea. Mediterranean Storm Daniel caused deadly flooding in many towns of eastern Libya, but the worst hit was the city of Derna. The death toll in Morocco has increased to nearly 3,000, 5 days after that powerful earthquake devastated the Marrakesh region. The number of people injured more than doubled to 5,530. It was the North African country's deadliest earthquake since 1960 and its most powerful in more than a century. Drone video showed the destruction of a 12th century mosque and the surrounding villages.
Took a while today, but we finally cracked 80. Okay, but the turnaround to the cooler weather is here. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center looking at that radar. This is what brought that cold front.
Yeah, that cold front's coming on through with the potential to help fire up some showers and thunderstorms. We're seeing most of that over toward the coast, but there's a little bit of light patchy rain along that front that's back to the west around the Charlotte area. We haven't seen any of that in a while. There were a couple of tiny showers that popped up around the Triangle area this morning, but it's been pretty quiet since then. There is a patch of rain, though, as you can see, coming out of South Carolina up towards Charlotte. And we'll likely see that pushing into our viewing area shortly, maybe within the next hour or so. Not a lot of storms developing along the southern part of that front, but definitely closer to the coast. That's where we'll have the best chance of any severe storms from Wilmington up toward New Bern and Moorhead City. That does include just the southern half of Sampson County there in that level one risk. We take a look at future cast and you can see a mix of sun and clouds out there. By 3 to 4 o'clock, we start to see a few cells popping up and they could pop up anywhere. We're less likely to see them near the Virginia line and more likely to see them the farther south and east you go. So that one pops up potentially near Raleigh and moves past Rocky Mount and Goldsboro between 5 and 7 o'clock. And there are a few more that pop up down to the south around 9 o'clock or so. And one or two could pop up really in any part of the viewing area. From Clinton southward is where we'd have the best chance of anything becoming severe. That's where the level one risk is. But it looks lovely in Clinton right now. Looking at sunshine with just those puffy cumulus clouds. We've hit 82 in the Triangle. With a dew point of 68, we'll likely climb on up to around 87. And that's going to feel warm, but not as hot as it was yesterday. We climbed up to 94 yesterday. Right now, we're looking at some lovely conditions across the area, thanks to our Brian Schrader for taking us this picture in Wilson County. You can see that beautiful school there, the elementary school, with that blue sky hanging right above it. Our high temperature, 87 in Raleigh, 83 in Durham, and 88 in Fayetteville. But we should be a little cooler tomorrow with sunshine and less humidity, the high of 83. 79 Friday and mid-80s through the weekend. Our normal high is in the mid-80s. Expect a cool morning tomorrow. We're going to walk out the door to temperatures in the low to mid-60s and even cooler on Friday morning in the low to mid-50s. And it's been a while since we've seen lows in the low to mid-50s. So we still see some fairly humid air sitting over us right now. But as our cold front moves offshore during the day Thursday, a lot of that moisture in the atmosphere, that humidity goes along with it. Look how nicely we dry out for Friday. That'll be the case Saturday and maybe into Sunday, too. Pretty steamy to tropical today. We're going to knock it back to about 60 tomorrow and then in the 50s on Friday and Saturday. Those will be the two most comfortable days. And I think we deserve it. Everybody who was at the NC State game on Saturday with the thunderstorms, they had to evacuate the stadium. Boy, this Saturday looks great. NC State, UNC, Duke, and Fayetteville State all play Saturday with lovely temperatures, sunshine, and low humidity. We take a look at Hurricane Lee. Not a big change. The biggest change would be it's moving a little faster northwest at about 9 miles per hour. It moves past Bermuda Thursday night into Friday morning. We're looking at some high rip current danger right now. We're going to walk through some of the other threats to our coast coming up, but it could get fairly interesting around parts of Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and then Maine and into the Canadian Maritimes. The storm is likely to be Category 1, dropping down to a tropical storm as it gets closer to that area over the weekend, but we'll be watching that. Of course, temperatures are looking lovely through the weekend, turning just a little bit hotter by the middle of next week. Lee is not the only storm out there. There's another one that could develop soon. I'll show you that and where it could be headed coming up.
Two North Carolina moms are taking their concerns over toxic chemicals in water straight to Congress. Today at 5:30, WRL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin speaks with the women and their efforts to get leaders to clean up and crack down on PFAS contamination.
After a successful month of adoptions in August, the Wake County Animal Center is again in need of help clearing space. The shelter is nearing capacity. Today at 5, Destiny Patterson looks at what is causing the surge in pets. And still ahead this noon, an online casino apologizes for a promotion that some say was not only a bad deal, but in bad taste. The message from DraftKings to players. Next.
Plus, it's not just the can that's different, but this could be the drink of the future. The origin of this futuristic flavor.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, labor disputes that have upended Hollywood are still dragging on with no end in sight. I want to take you live out to California right now, where you can see the SAG-AFTRA strike is happening right now. The majority of entertainment productions are still on hold because of the strike, and the battle pits the two unions, the Writers Guild of America and the Actors Guild, SAG-AFTRA, against the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. The two sides are not meeting regularly. The last time they met was July 13th. That is when the strike officially began.
Michelle, thanks. DraftKings is apologizing for an offer that would have paid out if three New York teams won on the 22nd anniversary of the September 11th terror attacks. The vast majority of 9/11 deaths occurred in the World Trade Center's Twin Towers in Lower Manhattan. The parlay would have paid out if the New York Yankees, Mets, and Jets won Monday. The offer drew fierce criticism on social media before it was yanked by the company. The sports gambling giant posted an apology on the social media site X.
Some people may be worried about the impact of artificial intelligence tools like ChatGPT on their jobs. But what about the impact on your finances? Would you use AI tools to help you manage your money? Sharon Epperson explores the benefits.
A new CNBC survey finds while most Americans have no interest in using artificial intelligence tools to help them manage their money, more than one-third of adults in the U.S., 37%, are interested in how ChatGPT and other AI tools could help them with their finances. 11% are very interested, and 4% have already used AI tools to help them manage their money.
What we learned, though, was most people who are consulting these resources are verifying what they hear with a financial advisor.
About half of investors, 51%, have little or no trust in financial advice from AI tools, according to another new survey by the CFP Board. And only 31% are comfortable implementing financial advice from a generative AI-powered tool without verifying it with another source. Sure, you can check your options online or on your phone, but when it comes to starting a business, buying a house, paying for college, or funding retirement, some people may want to talk it out with a financial advisor.
The way I like to explain it is until my computer can hand a tissue through the computer screen to my client, I don't fear that I will be replaced.
The CFP Board survey found investors demonstrate more confidence in advice from AI tools after vetting it with a financial planner. For CNBC, I'm Sharon Epperson.
After an intense manhunt, escaped fugitive Daniello Cavalcante is back in police custody. We'll show you how his days on the run came to an end next at 12:30.
And while retirement is time to kick back and relax, it is important to find activities to keep your mind sharp. Still ahead at noon, we'll go over ways to keep your brain active in your golden years. And hear your winning NC Education Lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
He's been captured after nearly 2 weeks on the run. Daniello Cavalcante is back in custody.
This is video of the moment he arrived at the Pennsylvania State Police facility in Avondale, Pennsylvania this morning. He was surrounded by six law enforcement officers as he entered the facility.
Laura Aguirre explains why his capture is such a huge relief for so many.
Our suspect was captured.
Pennsylvania's governor giving the news so many were anxiously awaiting.
There were no injuries to law enforcement or to the public. He was apprehended this morning with no shots fired.
Police say they started to close the net overnight after a residential burglar alarm drew more officers into an area in northern Chester County. An air search unit picked up a heat signal, but stormy weather and lightning forced units on the ground to hunker down and wait to move in.
Tactical teams converged on the area where the heat source was. They were able to move in very quietly. They had the element of surprise. Cavalcante did not realize he was surrounded until that had occurred.
Danilo Cavalcante did not initially give up peacefully.
He began to crawl through thick underbrush, taking his rifle with him as he went.
Police say they released a canine to stop Cavalcante's escape.
The dog subdued him, and team members from both of those teams immediately moved in. He continued to resist, but was forcibly taken into custody.
State police say Cavalcante did suffer a minor bite wound and was seen by medical experts at the scene.
He was transported to our Avondale station for further processing and interview, and he will ultimately be transferred to a state correctional institute where he will be housed and begin to serve his life sentence.
I'm Laura Aguirre reporting.
And Lieutenant Bivens, who you heard in that story, said Cavalcante did have help. He confirmed one of those people is Cavalcante's sister. Bivens said he'll talk to the district attorney about filing charges against anyone who helped him.
What a relief, though, that he is now captured. Durham solid waste workers are back on the job as they continue their fight for higher wages. The workers are getting a show of support from two county planning commissioners. WRL's Ken Smith is here now with how that show of support played out the same day the solid waste employees went back to work. Ken.
Yeah, but hey, this was a surprise move during that Durham County Planning Commission meeting. The solid waste workers walked off the job last week. Durham County residents were not getting their trash picked up. Some people resorted to carting off their own trash. The city also brought in some private contractors over the weekend to pick up trash. Now, fast forward to Tuesday night's Durham Planning Commission meeting. It was called to order. A quorum was established, and then this happened.
I rise to speak in solidarity with the sanitation workers here in the city of Durham. And I don't think it would be appropriate for us to continue these proceedings this evening until that issue has been resolved by our city government.
Again, that said, the commissioners Stephen Valentine and Nate Baker both walked out of the Planning Commission meeting. The chairperson called a five-minute recess. Valentine and Baker did not return. We should note Commissioner Baker is running for a seat on the Durham City Council. Again, the solid waste workers are back to work. They're calling for a cost of living increase and $5,000 bonuses. We'll keep track of this story and keep you updated.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have some updated COVID numbers for you this afternoon. A wastewater monitoring shows that COVID prevalence is the second highest this year. I want you to take a look at this graph and how it increases since July. This is a 14% increase from last week. And then more than 600 people were hospitalized, 638 hospital admissions with COVID. That is a 29% increase over last week and the highest since February of this year.
All right, Michelle, thanks for the update. A woman who is facing charges after a student brought a gun to a Raleigh elementary school will be in court in about an hour. Police have charged Princess Pittman with a felony. She bonded out yesterday and is due to face a judge this afternoon. School administrators at Leadmine Elementary say a student brought a gun to school Tuesday to show it to classmates, not to cause harm. Advocates against gun violence say this incident serves as a reminder to safely store firearms. Investigators did not say what connection Pittman has to the student. State law requires a one-year suspension from school if a gun is brought onto school property. A man who was stabbed this morning in Wake Forest is recovering. The attack happened just after 5 this morning on North Allen Street. Christopher Fleming is charged with stabbing a 36-year-old man several times. The victim's name has not been released. No word on what prompted the attack.
Nashville's town council voted to approve a youth curfew for the North Carolina town. It would be in effect from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. for teens 14 through 17. For kids 13 and younger, it would be in place from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. Officers won't be stopping teenagers going home from work, stopping at the gas station, or leaving football games.
Never too old to learn something new. Ways to keep your brain sharp when you're enjoying retirement.
And invitation rescinded. Wine Awards program says it no longer wants Drew Barrymore to host.
Partly cloudy skies out there, 82 degrees right now in Raleigh as you take a live look from our WRL Live Cam network and you watch WRL News available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Most of us think of retirement as a time to kick back and relax, but it's important to find activities to keep your mind sharp. While picking an activity that's enjoyable is key, it must also challenge you. Learning a new skill, reading a book, doing a puzzle are just some examples of how you can engage your brain. One expert adds finding ways to stay social is also crucial when it comes to long-term brain health.
If you retire and don't have that network outside of work, you might find yourself feeling isolated or lonely. And both isolation and loneliness are not great for our brain. In fact, they're risk factors for dementia. So when you retire, it's important to keep up a social network.
You might also guess regular exercise and eating a healthy diet are other ways to maintain brain health as you age.
Important for any age, any stage, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to risks for heart disease, socioeconomic status does not matter. A study by the American Heart Association revealed that Black, Asian, and Hispanic adults face a higher risk of heart disease than white people. According to the study, improvement in education, income, and employment status may not benefit people in all racial or ethnic groups equally. Instead, they said societal stressors like racism, medical mistrust, and unequal access to health care might play a more critical role in their heart health. When it comes to assessing the health benefits of oils, dietitians say you may want to consider adding grapeseed oil to your rotation. Grapeseed oil is extracted from, you guessed it, grape seeds left over from grapes that are used in the winemaking process. It's a good source of vitamin E. It's naturally high in omega-6 fatty acids, which play an important role in overall health and development. It's also low in saturated fatty acids. Besides cooking, grapeseed oil is also great for moisturizing skin and hair.
Lots of boys dream of growing up and following in their father's footsteps. One duo decided to recreate a special moment from the past as they soar into the future.
Oh, I love that. Plus, drivers call it a dangerous distraction, where DOT crews are busy eliminating an extra line of yellow paint on a busy interstate.
As a toddler, Reuben Flowers posed with his pilot dad in the cockpit of an airplane. Now, nearly 30 years later, he is posing with his pilot dad again as the first officer on his father's flight. Flowers started his career just as his father did, who's also named Reuben, who is nearing retirement as a captain. And thanks to a brief overlap, father and son were able to fly together. Dad says seeing his son next to him for his last landing was a dream come true. There are now 7 pilots total in that family.
It's definitely in the blood. A colossal planet about 120 light years from Earth may have water flowing on it. The James Webb Space Telescope appears to reveal that the exoplanet K12-18b may have some key features of a planet that could support bodies of water and life. An analysis of Webb's observations found the planet has abundant methane and carbon dioxide in its atmosphere. NASA says there's also the presence of those carbon-bearing molecules. Carbon is considered the building block of life forms on Earth. That is just mind-blowing.
Isn't it, though? We have a little.
Exciting.
It is pretty cool. And that Webb telescope never ceases to amaze. We have a little water in our atmosphere as well today.
Oh, yeah. And we could see more of that water in the afternoon and evening. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner and the WRL Severe Weather Center. It looks just so cloudy and gray out there.
It does. Lots of clouds behind you guys. You know, and you don't always want a rainy day. But if we didn't have any, we would not have life as we know it. We take a look at Goldsboro. It's partly cloudy here as well as Apex. A bit more cloud cover here in Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and a mix of sun and clouds in Fayetteville there in front of our Fayetteville newsroom. We have a cold front on the move. It's starting to move closer to the coast right now, but we'll continue to be close enough to us to help to produce a few isolated showers and thunderstorms as we get into the evening and even overnight tonight. Once this front moves on by us, you'll notice first thing in the morning when you open the door, it's going to feel much more comfortable, and that will continue for the next few days. Of course, the tropics are still active. It is definitely that time of year. We're watching Hurricane Lee, and we'll also watch a couple of other storms. We'll go over those too as well. Our severe weather threat, again, still just the southern tip there of Sampson County. That's where we'll have the best chance of any severe storms. We'll roll Doppler radar through. We're looking at showers and storms closer to the coast. Continue to watch a few isolated showers back here around Kannapolis and Charlotte, but we're not seeing any of that in our viewing area just yet. Here's future cast, and it looks like we'll stay pretty dry for the next few hours, but closer to the evening commute, there could be a few isolated cells that pop up. One or two of those could produce some heavy rain and some blustery winds, but we wouldn't have a lot of widespread damage from any winds. The Durham Bulls are in their last regular season homestand right now. I can't believe it. Man, I guess that is truly the end of summer, isn't it? Lovely there this evening. 82 degrees as they're throwing out the first pitch, and some beautiful weather on. There's a very tiny chance of a shower there. We're really dry, though, on into the weekend. Bug Fest. So many people love this. It's the biggest event the museum does, North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. Starts Saturday at 10 a.m., and there are some outdoor events as well as indoor events. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Highs will be in the mid-80s. Under mostly sunny skies. That's always a fun event. If you've ever wanted to eat a bug, and I know so many of you have, everybody in the studio just turned around to look at me. I'm just kidding. But you actually can eat a bug there if you've ever wanted to. Hurricane Lee, 11 o'clock information, still holding on to that Category 3 status there with winds at 115 miles per hour. It is likely to cruise past Bermuda as a Category 1 storm very early in the morning on Friday. It will continue to weaken as it moves up to the north and starts to pick up some of that forward motion. It's going to be moving through some cooler water, and that will allow it to continue to weaken. We're looking at high rip current danger right now. We'll talk about what else we'll see, but it's going to get interesting maybe here around Massachusetts Cape Cod. The storm will pass to the east of it, but still could be some impact. There's certainly rip current danger, maybe some erosion, and then making landfall somewhere between Maine and Nova Scotia as we get into the weekend. Our rip current danger for most of our beaches right now is high. It's likely to stay that way through the weekend. So if you're planning to head to the beaches this weekend, just keep that in mind. Coastal flooding and beach erosion, all a possibility. And we take a look at what else is out there. We have Margot here, and then we have this next system coming off the coast of Africa. That one has an 80% chance of developing. Margot is just going to kind of wander around and fizzle out eventually. But this one we're watching closely. It looks like it could make maybe a similar track to Lee, but staying off the coast of the United States. Again, we've got a long time to watch that. That wouldn't be for another week and a half. Beautiful weather ahead for the next few days. That will continue into the weekend.
Elizabeth, thanks. Now that the school year is back in full swing, we're back to honoring some of our area's brightest teachers. WRL's Brian Schrader heads to Tarboro, where an Edgecombe County native is giving back to her hometown.
It doesn't have to be a historical event, but there are things that happen in our lives that we consider to be very significant.
Kalia Braswell had no doubt what she wanted to do with her life.
I knew that I wanted to teach. You can ask my parents since I was in seventh grade. I knew I wanted to go to ECU. I knew I wanted to be in education. Remember old major speech that we were looking at on Friday?
Braswell got that degree from ECU, and now she's an English teacher at Edgecombe Early College High School. It's a program based at Edgecombe Community College, giving students a chance to earn college credits. Staying in her home county was always part of Braswell's plan.
I wanted to take everything that I had experienced and learned and bring it back home because that was the most important to me.
Braswell has been teaching for 4 years, and the students who nominated her for Teacher of the Week say she's a role model.
I go to her class even when I don't have her as a teacher because I just love her atmosphere. She actually makes us think.
So I think a lot of teachers, when they become teachers, they forget that they were once teenagers too, or whatever age they're teaching. And so it is very important that we put ourselves in their shoes again and understand them from their point of view.
Braswell says she gets back the love and respect she shows her students.
Those kids are literally the reason why I wake up in the morning and I love my job.
Ms. Braswell?
Yes.
Hey, I'm Brian with WREL, and you are our Teacher of the Week.
Oh, thank
Congratulations.
Thank Kalia Braswell is WREL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WREL News.
And Brian presented her with a nice-looking plaque there. You can look at all of our honored teachers and nominate a teacher you'd like us to recognize. Go to WREL.com, enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Paint along a stretch of I-95 is causing a dangerous distraction for drivers.
I said you follow that yellow line, you find whoever is responsible for the yellow line.
Where DOT crews are working for miles to clean up this mysterious line.
And here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. An escaped murderer is back in custody after a two-week manhunt. This morning, Danilo Cavalcante was captured in a wooded area about 15 miles from the Pennsylvania prison where he escaped. Cavalcante will ultimately be transferred to a state correctional institute where he will begin to serve his life sentence.
A man shot and killed by a Wilson County deputy was in the U.S. Army Reserves. Lamoris Spite Jr.'s family says he was having a mental health crisis. The sheriff's office says Spite put a deputy in a chokehold and tried to take a deputy's weapon. Officials have not said whether the deputies involved have been placed on leave.
Raleigh police are trying to figure out who's behind a string of overnight break-ins in Midtown Raleigh. Thieves hit at least six businesses just 2 miles apart. The owner of Max Tobacco and Vapor says the suspects made off with several products and stole cash. A Jet's Pizza, Dunkin' Donuts, a supermarket and pet supply store were also hit.
An accidental line of paint stretching down I-95 is causing confusion for drivers in Florida. Crews are now working to clean up that mysterious yellow line nearly 20 miles down the major interstate in Jacksonville. It is still unclear how the paint appeared or who spilled it. The Florida Department of Transportation says it will take more brushing to remove it.
The National Book Foundation is giving Drew Barrymore the boot. The organization announced Barrymore will not host the 74th Annual Literary Awards Ceremony. The decision comes after the daytime TV personality decided to resume production on her talk show during the ongoing writer's strike. This year's ceremony is dedicated to, quote, the incomparable contributions of writers to our culture. Pet owners are tightening their belts as prices are on the rise. High inflation is causing stress on people who shell out for expensive gourmet pet food brands. The average cost has increased nearly 11% from a year ago. Now, pet owners are cutting back on non-essential pet items and looking for cheaper options or smaller pack sizes in food.
Coca-Cola has introduced a futuristic limited edition soda called Y3000. The company says the drink was co-created with human and artificial intelligence. Researchers gathered data on what people think the future tastes like and then used AI to help determine flavor pairings and profiles for the drink. AI also created the label design. It's a pretty cool label. Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels Pet Adoptions. Vanguard may be quiet and a bit shy, but beneath that reserved exterior lies a heart full of potential. Loves chin scratches, has a gentle nature. Vanguard is searching for a compassionate, patient forever home where you can feel safe and loved. If this is you, apply at catangelsnc.org.
As always, we appreciate you spending your lunch hour with us. NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.